Okay, we're in John chapter 7 here this morning. John's Gospel, chapter 7, as we do our journey through the Gospel. John chapter 7. And we're going to be picking up with verse 32 to the end of chapter 7. So we'll be completing at least the first seven chapters in our journey through the book of John here. John chapter 7, verse 32. God's Word. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. So the Pharisees were that right-wing faction. The Sanhedrin was the religious legal body that the Romans allowed to exist to keep the Jews at bay in that part of the ancient world in the first century. Okay? It was like their city council. The Pharisees would be considered extremely conservative. The Sadducees were the Democrats of that time. So the Pharisees are hearing the common people talking about Jesus. Who is he? What is he? And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, to teach the Gentiles? That's a reference. Now, these were Jews there in Jerusalem, there in Judea. That reference to the dispersed among the Gentiles, they're thinking amongst themselves, okay, is Jesus going to pack his bags and he's going to traverse the Roman Empire and visit all the Jews that are scattered through the Roman world? That's what they're referring to. What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? Notice how even Jesus' simple words, notice those simple words, they could not even understand that degree of light. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now John provides a parenthesis, because now John is writing after the events of Jesus' life. And when Jesus said what he did in verse 38, Jesus offered no explanation of what he meant. John, two or three decades later, provides the interpretation with the parenthesis. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, like on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So at this point, Jesus has not gone to the cross. He's not been buried. He hasn't died. He hasn't been buried. And the resurrection hasn't yet occurred. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this, saying, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scriptures say it, Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? And that's true. That's a true fact. They're saying the real Christ is going to come from basically Bethlehem. Well, they failed to realize the one standing in front of them came from Bethlehem and he was a direct descendant of David. So there was a what? Division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, meaning brought him to the authorities to be killed, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? So the soldiers that were sent to apprehend him and bring him before the council, they come back empty-handed. So the religious leader says, hey, where is he? The officers answered, oh, never spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Well, Nicodemus did. This people who know it not the law are cursed. I want you to file that. Nicodemus saith unto them. Now Nicodemus is on the council and he's a believer, but he's a secret believer. He that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Notice the parentheses. John, writing after these facts, supplants these little parentheses to kind of give you the updated knowledge when he wrote at that time. He's telling you Nicodemus was one of us. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he's doing? That's basic law. You have to have your day in court. That's what Nicodemus is saying. Should not you guys give Jesus his day in court? They answered and said unto Nicodemus, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Please be seated. Man, there's so much packed here. Are you ready? Let's have a little bit of biblical fun. Biblical time in God's word. Okay, so John chapter 7. Okay, go all the way back to John chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. So chapter 7 covers one context. It covers one event from start to finish at this point in the life of Jesus. It says, after these things, Jesus walked into Galilee. That's up north, like I told you in the last hour. That's where his headquarters. He spent more time up in the north. For he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. One reason why he kept to the north and not too much to the south, because he knew that he was a wanted man. His picture was on every post office down south. Now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. That was in the fall. It was at the end of the second harvesting season. Okay? And it was a 7-day festival. So chapter 7 deals with simply 7 days in the life of Jesus in the fall during this particular feast. All right? So you kind of get the gist. Well, now turn to verse what? Where were we to begin? Look at verse 32. Where did it say? Okay, look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast. So now we're on day 7 out of this week, when this event occurred during just that 1 week in the life of Jesus. So we started with verse 32. The Pharisees are hearing all the scuttlebutt. There's a lot of jibber jabber out there about Jesus. Who or what is he? And it's getting the religious leaders upset. Remember, the Sanhedrin was 70 members. The overwhelming majority of that council were Sadducees. They were left-leaning in their thinking. Now get this, these were religious people. The Sadducees didn't believe in heaven or hell. They didn't believe in miracles, and they didn't believe in angels. So what do you believe? The Pharisees were your conservatives. They believed all those things, and yet there they are. And the Romans gave them the green light to keep that part of the Roman world from going ballistic with rebels and riots. All right? So this is the council. And the council was upset. Why are they upset? Because they're fearful that Jesus could spark a what? Rebellion. A revolt. And what does this council don't want? What do they don't want? They want no hubbub. They want no rioting. They don't want Black Lives Matter. They don't want the Antifa of the first century. Breaking the law. Why? Because in the city of Jerusalem, there was a Roman garrison of well-trained killing soldiers. Soldiers who love to kill. So if the Jews got out of hand because of this Jesus fellow, we're going to have a riot on our hand, and the Romans are going to come, and there'll be a bloodbath. That's why the council was always upset with Jesus. He posed a threat to the status quo. So then Jesus says in verse 33, yet a little while I am with you, meaning I'm still alive and pumping blood, then I go unto him that sent me. Well, that's the ascension back to the Father, Acts chapter 1. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. He's talking about his eventual departure back to the Father. You're going to see me now, but pretty soon I'm going to be gone and you won't be able to see me because I've gone back to my Father. Now, verse 35 shows you the Jews get all flustered. They're basically saying, what in the world did he just say? Now we see him, now we don't. He's going to go someplace and yet we can't follow. What? No, Jesus, what do you mean? Notice, he's giving them things to hear. He's giving them things to see, like the Isaiah prophecy. Are you beginning to put all the dots together? They're hearing him, they're seeing him, but there's no connection to what he's saying. The blindness has fallen on them. Then that last day, Jesus says, now this is interesting, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The average Christian will say, well, Jesus was offering them some sparkly water, flavored. No sugar, no caffeine. Jesus is not talking about water. He's not talking about this. Jesus is talking here spiritually. If any man truly thirsts and hungers for righteousness, he says, go to him. If you are thirsty and if you are hungry for righteousness, if you desire the kingdom of God, if you desire to be in fellowship with the Creator of all things, go to Jesus, for he is that bridge over troubled water. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said. Now, I've heard Christians apply a literal interpretation, and they're so stupid. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When's the last time you saw a waterfall coming out of someone's belly button? If you take that literal, if you think that Jesus was talking literal, then everybody who's a Christian should walk around and everybody can get a cup and you can drink the water coming out of your belly button. Notice in verse 39, John gives you what Jesus was really pointing to. But he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, was not yet given at this time. Why? Because Christ had not yet gone to the cross, buried, died, buried, rose, and then ascended. John, in that verse 39, writing after that event in Jesus' life, provides that little interpretation to what Jesus was referring to. Jesus wasn't referring to Christians walking around as a walking fountain. The Holy Spirit was being referred to. Now, notice, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this, when the people heard this, saying, of a truth, this is that prophet. Oh, Jesus is a prophet. Oh, others said, is this the Messiah? Then some, who thought they were smart, said, is the Messiah going to come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture says that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Jesus was a direct descendant of David. Check. And out of the town of Bethlehem? O little town of Bethlehem. Check. Where David was? Check. Did you notice? That person verbally told us where Christ would be born, who his ancestor would be. Okay. And the fact that he would fulfill what was said of him in the Old Testament. That's the implication. And yet the person didn't connect the dots. You can go that far in understanding who Jesus is, die, and still go to hell. Because you've got to take that knowledge that you now have of him, that he's truly who he is, and then you've got to believe on him. You've got to embrace him by faith alone. It's one thing to say, oh, Jesus was the Son of God. But do you believe that? Well, he's the Son of God. Have you committed your life to him? No, but he's the Son of God. I can parrot that till the cows come home. Is he the Son of God? Yes. Have you given yourself to him? Yes. And the Holy Spirit resides within me, that fountain of living water. Now look at verse 43. I love 43. Have you noticed that Jesus is not the great uniter of men? There was a division among the people because of whom? Not the church, not you, not me. Who caused the division that day on the last day of the feast? Excuse me. It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It wasn't the right wingers, nor the left wingers. There was no independence. Jesus caused that division. Jesus is the great divider. You ever hear the expression? Well, this particular principle, it divides the men from the boys. Remember those expressions? You and I have used it, we've heard it. That's what's being said here. Jesus divides the legitimate Christian from the phony. Jesus is the great divider, not the great uniter. Well, by the time all this transpires in verse 45, the soldiers who went to apprehend him, they come back empty-handed, and the Sanhedrin says, "Where is he?" "Oh, never a man spake like him." And what did they say? Verse 48, "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?" Now, put your seatbelt on. Notice what the leaders say about the common man on the street, whom it is their responsibility to educate the common man from God's word. What was the assessment of the pastors? Are you ready? You ready? "But this people who know it not the law are cursed." What a fine estimation by the pastors of Jesus' day on their parishioners. How would you feel if you heard your pastor in a conversation down the hall talking to somebody else and he made a reference to you in this situation, this example? You were a member of this particular church and you happened to simply ear catch the fact the pastor talking trash about the parishioners who pay him. How would you feel? That is what they said. Is this people, they don't know anything about the law. Here's my question, dear church. It is your responsibility to make those people know the law. You are the pastors. You are being paid to feed and nurture God's sheep. So if they're cursed in your eyes, it is because you have failed in your job. You have failed in your calling. And then, beloved, Nicodemus comes out of a box. See, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are the only two Pharisees we know of that was actually saved. It's Joseph who gives up his tomb to bury Jesus. It is Joseph who goes to Pontius Pilate to beg the body to get it down and get into the grave. Nicodemus speaks up. And notice how John puts the parentheses. Oh, he's the one that came to Jesus by night, being one of us. Nicodemus says, "Does our law judge any man before we at least hear him?" Simple question. A legal dilly-dally. They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee?" So they just got done. Not only did they say the common people are cursed, they're morons, now the council smacks one of their own. "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." I got news for you. In the book of Judges, there is one judge who did come from that part of Israel. They didn't even know their own history. And then I love verse 53. Time out. I've got to go home. Got to eat. Got to watch the game. Got to cut the grass. Every man simply went home. The issue of Jesus is put on the back burner for another day. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.